إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, بإذن الله تعالى a day will come about which Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم informed us and warned us. And he said that when this day comes, the angels will come for our soul. And this time is a time about which it was said that this time cannot be brought forward, and this time cannot be delayed. لا يستأخرون ساعة ولا يستقدمون. This time can neither be delayed, nor can it be advanced. And when the angels come for the soul, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the scene. And he said that when they come for the soul of the believers, Malakul Maut will come and sit at the head of the person and will remind him about the kalima, and then he will call to the soul and the soul will then come out to him like a drop of water falling from a jug. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the other angels who will be with him will pass the soul from hand to hand like people pass a newborn baby around. And then they will clothe the soul in the clothing of the Jannah and apply perfume to that, and then take the soul up. And when they come to the gates of the first heaven, they will be asked to identify themselves and to identify who they are bringing. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they will identify themselves and they will identify the soul with the best of the names that used to be used for that person while the person was alive. And the guards of the gate will say, Marhaba, you were awaited. And the same thing will happen at the second heaven, at the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and the seventh, until the soul is brought in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, take this soul and let him rest until the day when he will be called. And then in the qabr, the person will be questioned, and when he answers correctly to the questions by saying that my Rabb is Allah, that my deen is Islam, and that Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is my Nabi and my Imam, then a voice from on high will say, yes, he has spoken the truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, furnish his qabr with the mafushat of the Jannah. Furnish his qabr with the furnishings of the Jannah. And this will be done. And the qabr will be expanded to the extent as far as the eye can see. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the angel will open a gate, open a window in the qabr, and they will show the fire of Jahannam to the person. And they will say to him that this could have been where you would have ended, but by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed Jannah for you. And another window will be opened from which he will be shown Jannah. And the beautiful cool breeze of the Jannah will flow into the qabr. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the slave will sleep in this qabr like a bride sleeps on her bed, where nobody can disturb her. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this decree this for all of us when our time comes, inshallah. The key issue is, and of course in this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also described what happens to the disbelievers and so on. I don't want to go into all that detail just now. May Allah save us from that kind of an ending. But the key thing to understand, my brothers and sisters, is that this day will come. This day will come to each and every one of us. And when that day comes, and you are informed that Sheikh Yaver Beg died last night, it will not be, or it should not be, a surprising thing. Because one day we have to go. One day we all have to go. And those of you who live after I die, somehow, somewhere you will hear the news. And then I hope that you will make dua for me and my forgiveness, inshallah. But the key thing to understand is that this day will come for all of us. And that is why it is essential to prepare for this day. We had the longest lifespan when we were born. On the day we were born, we had the longest lifespan. And then along with our births, we were given this clock which runs backwards. And every instant is an instant that is reduced from our life. And therefore, when somebody asked me, they said, should we celebrate birthdays? I said, of course. Very important, we should celebrate birthdays. They said, oh, but everybody says you should not celebrate. I said, no, I think you should celebrate. But let me tell you how you should celebrate. And I said, on your birthday, you must sit down with a piece of sheet of paper and say, one more year has gone away from my life. And I am one more year closer to my death. So what have I prepared for my death? And I said, then write down in that sheet of paper what you have prepared for your death. That to me is the way to celebrate a birthday. Because why would you celebrate something which is a loss? It's an ultimate stupidity in our world, where you want to celebrate a birthday and light candles on a cake, and people do not even understand the symbolism of what they are doing. Amazing. People, we live such ridiculous lives. We do not even understand the symbolism of what we are doing. Because when you are lighting candles on a cake, and then what do you tell this birthday boy or the birthday girl to do? To blow out the candles. What does the blowing out of a candle signify? Death. Extinguishing. No? But everybody claps their happy birthday to you. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. What senseless. I'm saying their own symbolism they don't understand. After all, you could have had a system where instead of blowing out the candle, you could light the candles and then sing a song, no? That's possible. I mean, after all, it's your invention, so you can invent anything, right? This is not from the kalam of Allah. So you can invent anything. You can invent that the birthday should be celebrated where you light the candles and leave them lighted and you... No. The symbolism that has been handed down through the ages is that you blow out the candles. That should be a reminder to you that this cake is not a celebration. This cake is reminding me of my death. And I am being told to blow out my own candles. Magar wo dimag kaam kare tab na. The brain has to first work, no? Just mindless copying and mindless, without thinking. There is so much to learn And there are so many lessons to learn for somebody who can use his brain. But even where that symbolism is there, even where we can use our intelligence, we don't. And just mindlessly following practices. So think about this. That day will come. That day will come whether we like it or not. The day will come whether we accept it or not, whether we believe it or not. Whether we believe in what will happen after that day or not, irrespective of that, none of that has any relevance. That day will come. And the question I ask myself and you is, what have we prepared for that day? It's a matter of hisab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you will be shown. You will be shown in minute detail. An atom's weight of good or an atom's weight of evil, you will actually see it. Therefore, what is it that we are likely to see? I recall the death of a friend of mine who used to live in an apartment right next to ours, just one same wall, one door here, one door there, so just one dividing wall. And one night about, this was in the middle of the 2008 Olympics, the Olympics were going on. It was raining very heavily, and around 2:30 in the night, we heard this hammering on the door of our door. So we got up and I went out, and there was the wife of this person who was my neighbor. And she said, please come, something has happened to him. So my wife and I, we went inside that house, and this man was lying flat on the ground on his back. And just by looking at him, I knew he was dead. Of course, we called a doctor and so on. The doctor came and certified that he had died. So I asked the lady, what happened? She said he went down, it was raining, he wanted to move his motorcycle, so he moved his motorcycle. And then he came up, he put the keys on the table, there was a table like this, put the key on the table and he fell flat from a standing position. And died. And I remember at that time I saw there was a TV screen in that room, there was a television. And the Olympics was going on. He had been sitting and watching the Olympics going on. Nothing haram, he was doing something which is alright to do. But he was watching the Olympics, and that was the last thing that he did. My question to myself and you is, what will be the last thing that we will do before we are called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And I'm also reminded of what I was informed of the passing away of Hazrat Shaykh Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali. He was about 97. He'd had a stroke, so he was not completely mobile. He used to be on a wheelchair and his grandson used to help him. And it was his practice that on Jummah, he would have his ghusl and he would wear his sherwani, and there was in his house, wooden, what we call a takhat, you know, wooden cot with a pillow at the back. So he would sit on this pillow, on this cot, and he would recite Suratul Kahf. He was Hafiz, so he would recite without reading, without seeing. He would recite Suratul Kahf. And if there was anyone there, they would sit and they would listen to him. This was his normal practice. So, this day, it was Jummah, and it was the 27th of Ramadan, in the year 2000. And his grandson said that, Hadwalana, he completed the ghusl, put on his clothes, and then he sat on the takhat. And he said, he told me, bring the Musaf. So he said, I thought to myself, why is he asking for the Musaf? Because he never asks, he reads by himself. He said, anyway, he said, bring the Musaf. So he said, I turned to pick up the Quran when I heard him starting to recite Suratul Yasin. And he said, as I turned, he was reciting Suratul Yasin, and he came to the ayah, فَبَشِّرْهُ بِمَغْفِرَةٍ وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ. And he leaned back on the bolster, and he passed away. Last word out of his mouth is the ayat of Bashara of Suratul Yasin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives these positions to who He wants. No one can engineer this. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these are not random things that are just handed down. These are the gifts that are given as a result of the life that was led. And that is the reason why it's important for us to concentrate on the life that we lead. That is why tarbiyah is important. That's why tazkiyah is important. And that's why we have to work and make effort. And that's I want to remind myself and you that let us get serious with our lives. We don't know how much time we have left. The only thing we know for sure is that that time, whatever it is, whether it is 5 minutes or it is 500 years, it will end. And then we'll begin a life that has no ending. If it is good, then the good is forever. And if it is not good, that is also forever. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to live a life that is pleasing to Him, for which the ending will be something that will be good forever, insha'Allah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.